Welcome to Bible Insights with Wayne Conrad. Today's subject, Christian fellowship. Fellowship is a word that is often used today, but is also a word that is prone to be misused. The whole concept of fellowship is basic to the Christian church. In a real sense, it can summarize the work that Christ Jesus came into the world to complete. Because of sin, the fellowship that had existed between the first man and woman, that is Adam and Eve, with the Holy God had been disrupted. As a result, the relationship between themselves and between resulting humans became estranged, often marred by open conflict and violence. Jesus came to restore fellowship between God and people, and in the process create a community of believers sharing a common life and interest. In fact, the Bible says you cannot truly have fellowship with God while rejecting the fellowship of other believers. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, if a man says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he doesn't love his brother whom he has seen. How can he love God whom he has not seen? This commandment we have from him, that he who loves God should also love his brother. What do we mean by Christian fellowship? The word fellowship is capable of a variety of meanings. Too often in Christian circles, it primarily means a little social time with refreshments. This is a shallow view and a reduction in meaning of a very important biblical term. At its most basic level, the term means mutual association around a common interest. For example, the crucial importance of believers, a fellowship for believers from the early Christians is stated in Acts 2:42, which notes they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. These are basic acts of Christian worship involving assembling together and engaging together. Of the early Christians, Luke goes on to say in verse 46, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Fellowship means being together for mutual benefit, as expressed in Hebrews 10, 24 and following. Let's consider how to provoke one another to love and good works, not forsaking our own assembling together, as the custom of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. These are two very important reasons for Christian assembly: the joint participation in the worship of God and the mutual encouragement of believers in helping us love one another and do good works, that is, deeds that demonstrate love in action. So from the beginning, the Christian church was marked by the sharing of fellowship among believers. There's a fuller meaning to the word fellowship in the New Testament. It embraces the idea of mutual association, but goes even deeper. It means having a share with someone or something related to the Christian faith and experience. The term carries the idea of a common participation in Christ Jesus. This is at the core of all true Christian fellowship. All believers have a common participation in what God has done in Christ for us. To enter this fellowship, people repent of living in opposition to God or facing away from God, and they turn in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. What binds Christians together is our common participation in Christ. Galatians 2:20. We therefore share in the same spiritual life of which he is the source. So Paul testifies, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. In addition, the Spirit of Christ comes and dwells in each believer. The same Holy Spirit dwells in all. The Spirit is the one who unites us to Christ and to one another, Romans 8, verse 8 and following. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is alive, or is life, because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Christ is at the base of Christian fellowship. He is the common denominator. This means that we are to take as our brother or sister everyone whom Christ himself has received. We are not to receive or reject people simply on the basis of our attraction to them. Further, racial and socio-economic grounds are not to be considered as a factor. Now, there are a lot of secondary truths that are important and should be considered in how we can fully express our Christian fellowship, but Christ alone is the determining key. Now, the Bible addresses itself to the observance of Christian fellowship and states several principles that should guide us in determining fellowship. Specifically, we are told to receive those who differ on matters of Christian liberty. There are certain things the Bible simply does not say are right or wrong. On these matters, such as dress, entertainment, diet, religious holy days, the Christian is free to choose under God a course of action. There's no certain mold that we must all fit into, and we're not to demand that ours be the standard and basis of fellowship. Some fundamentalist Christians greatly err in this regard. Romans 14 and Colossians 2 address this matter. Here are some key verses. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, or this purpose, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Romans 14, 1 through 9. And Colossians 2, 16. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. All right, the first principle again is that we are told that we are to receive those who differ on matters of Christian liberty. The second is that we're told to receive one another on the basis of Christ and our faith in him, not on fullness of doctrinal insight. It's not how much one knows, but who he knows that's the key. Now, certainly there are core basic truths about the person and work of Jesus that one must believe. Otherwise, you have a different Jesus than the Christ Jesus of apostolic faith. This one in whom we believe, Jesus of Nazareth, is true God and true man in one person, the only mediator between God and mankind. However, there are very important truths and distinctives among Christians of various traditions, but our fellowship is based on the knowledge of the common Lord. A third principle is that we are to receive all classes and kinds of people as long as faith in Christ is present. Although our society may give respect to persons based on race, color of skin, social and financial status, all of this is immaterial to the Christian fellowship. We are to receive all Christians without respect to persons. This should be reflected in the makeup of our church assemblies and in our circle of acquaintances. Fourthly, denominational connections are not exclusive factors in determining Christian fellowship. Life in Christ, godliness of life, and soundness of faith are the important things, not organizations or the distinctives of a group in secondary areas of teaching or practice. Four principles. So the fellowship of all believers is vital to the Church of Jesus Christ. This fellowship is first of all with Christ, and then with all who share in the one Spirit of Christ, our Savior and Lord. This has been Wayne Conrad with Bible Insights. The next time, the peace of Christ be with you.